When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. Do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish?" He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put Jesus to death. Please pray with me. Jesus, you have shown the whole world that you have the power to free us from death, and that you desire to save us from death, and yet somehow there are still people who hate you. The word, your word, says that the human heart is wicked beyond all understanding, but you, Lord Jesus, you understand it. You understand the heart of your enemies, and you understand the heart of those you call brothers. So teach us so that we may also understand. Teach us to trust in your word always, even when life looks hopeless. Teach us through your word to trust in you and your work on the cross. And then gather us together as your children and make us one church, united by your sacrifice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We're starting a new sermon series here at Prince of Peace, and it's titled "Preached by Christ's Enemies." As we go through Lent, we're going to look at what some of the enemies of Jesus Christ said about him, even as they were conspiring and plotting against him. One of the things that you'll notice when you look at the words of Christ's enemies is that in many cases, his enemies were speaking the truth, even the truth about him, and yet in many cases, they hardened their hearts and they continued to deny the truth of the cross and the truth of Christ and his gospel. So this phenomenon where the enemies of God and God's people are made to unwittingly proclaim the gospel, it's not unique to the Old Testament, or to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, for example, there are a few examples of it too, including the magician Balaam, who in the book of Numbers, he was hired by a king. He was actually paid money to put a curse on the people of God. But when he tried, the power of God forced him every time to proclaim a blessing on them. So what's going on there when Balaam accidentally proclaims the love of God for his people? And why did Caiaphas accidentally preach that Jesus would be crucified to unite all of the people of God? Are these just moments where for a fleeting second we see the power of God winning in the cosmic battle of good and evil? What's going on there? We need to take a second and think about that, because something happens to us when we become Christians. We start to wear the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We get his righteousness, but we get something else too. We get his enemies. all of his enemies, including 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. So we know that death is our enemy, and it's the enemy of Jesus Christ. But Romans 5:10 says that while we were still enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. So Romans 5:10 says that until we come to faith, we were on God's list of enemies. Because unless you believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you are on God's list of enemies. No matter how wonderful a person you think you are, unless you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are an enemy of God. Even if you think you are serving God. And that's the first point in our notes. Unless you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are an enemy of God. And that whole need for faith thing, that turned out to be a real problem for Caiaphas. If you had asked Caiaphas, Caiaphas, do you think you're an enemy of God? He would have looked at you and said, what, are you dumb? I'm the high priest. Caiaphas was snarky. We know that from what we hear him saying. In his mind, faith in Jesus Christ didn't matter because Caiaphas was the high priest. He was the guy that went in every year into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. It was his job to carry in the animal blood and to make atonement for the sins of Israel. Caiaphas, he was an important dude. In his mind, no one in the world got closer to God than him. And no one in Israel got their sins forgiven without Caiaphas. Caiaphas thought he was a pretty big deal. And you can tell, again, from his snark, that that's the way he saw things. All of his friends are panicking and they're saying, Jesus just raised a dead guy. What are we going to do? Everyone's going to believe in Jesus. And Caiaphas looks at all these guys, who were pretty smart guys in their own right, and says, you know nothing. You know nothing. Jesus is an enemy of our temple, Caiaphas thought. He's an enemy of our people. And if we let him keep going, the Romans will follow or will come in and crush us because they don't want our people following Jesus. And I'm the high priest, and I know what to do, and I'm in charge of this place. And I say we're going to murder Jesus. In fact, Caiaphas had already prophesied, we're going to kill him. And when we do, that'll save us and the children of God. And there it is. Caiaphas, who because of his disbelief had made himself God's enemy, was still forced to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified. He didn't understand it. He didn't even believe it. But God, in his almighty sovereign power, made him preach it. That's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? How powerful God is and his gospel. The only thing the earthly high priest Caiaphas wanted to do was to destroy Jesus. And yet, while Caiaphas is trying to stop Jesus' ministry, it's Caiaphas's plots and schemes that eventually drag Jesus to the bloody sacrifice that makes Jesus our eternal high priest. So how does that work? How does God use his enemies to proclaim the gospel? Like I asked before, is this a moment where we see God on top in the cosmic battle between good and evil for just a brief instant, and then it's back to locking horns? Should we be worried that God is not gloriously triumphant all the time? No, we should not. Because these moments in Holy Scripture, when God forces Balaam or Caiaphas to do God's will instead of their own will, they're given to us in Holy Scripture for our comfort. They're not just brief glimpses of God getting everything under control and then everything spinning back into chaos. God is always in control. That's what we read in Isaiah 45. God is always in control, even of his enemies. It's not like for a brief moment he has the upper hand, and then we're back to wondering if Caiaphas can pull off his murder. Our God created the heavens and the earth, and besides him there is no other. God relentlessly pursues his enemies. But first, he pursues his enemies. But before he pursues them in wrath and power, first, he pursues them in grace and forgiveness and love. That's what Isaiah 45:22 says. It says, "Everyone on earth, turn to me, for I am God and there is no other. Turn to me and be saved." That's point two in our notes. God pursues his enemies with grace and forgiveness because he wants them to be saved. But here's the really important truth. And it's the truth that explains why even his enemies are forced to confess the truth of the gospel from time to time. This is really important. God does not pursue his enemies in grace forever. Right now is the day of grace, but soon we go from Isaiah 45:22 to Isaiah 45:23. On that day, every knee and every mouth will bow and worship Jesus Christ. When that day comes, brothers and sisters, we will bow to Christ because that's just what we do. That's our whole life. Being Christians is bowing and swearing allegiance to Jesus Christ and living every moment of our lives for him. But the enemies of Jesus Christ will be made to bow and confess by force and by power. That day is coming. That day is our great hope because we are reborn and united with Jesus Christ. When we are, his enemies become our enemies, but on that day, he'll be dealing with all of our enemies. So for now, we're supposed to pursue our enemies in love and grace and forgiveness. But you should know that the enemies of Jesus Christ will come at you just like Caiaphas came at Jesus. They will come with scorn and snarkiness and sometimes hate and sometimes violence. But even then, you should know, no matter how evil they are, they won't win. They won't win because someday every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's our third point in our notes. Someday every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The evil deeds of your enemies will not lead to their victory. Caiaphas was scheming like he could actually save the Jewish nation from the Romans. Like he could plot a murder that would somehow keep the greatest military up to that point in human history out of Jerusalem. Even though they killed Jesus, even though they followed Caiaphas's plan, the Romans still sacked Jerusalem 40 years later. Caiaphas's plan didn't work, but God's plan worked. God's plan worked then, and God's plan is working now. Brothers and sisters, in Caiaphas we see that there is no evil so great and no sin so wicked that God cannot redeem it for his own good purposes. Nor is there ever an enemy of God's or of ours that can stand up to the immense power of God. Caiaphas meant it for evil, but God redeemed even the murderous evil of this earthly high priest, and he used it for good. And brothers and sisters, this applies to our own lives as well. If you trust in Jesus Christ, when your enemies come at you, you can trust the sovereign and powerful God of all creation will redeem you, whatever evils this world throws at you. Cancer, addiction, abuse, persecution, whatever you're dealing with, whatever evil is thrown at you, whatever Satan's trying to use to distract you from God's word or to just pull you down in general, God's more powerful than all of that, and he will redeem it. Jesus allowed himself to be murdered. He allowed himself to be murdered by his enemies because through their evil he was able to make satisfaction for all of our sins. And he became our true, eternal, and heavenly high priest. That's why we don't need an earthly high priest like Caiaphas anymore. Because the Day of Atonement has come. Our blood sacrifice was made. Not by a bull or by a sheep, but by our perfect high priest. Caiaphas was absolutely correct when he said, it's better for one man to die than for the whole nation. We needed Jesus Christ to die, but not for the reasons that Caiaphas thought. When Caiaphas said that the solution to keeping the Romans out was to kill Jesus, he meant, let's kill Jesus so Caiaphas can stay high priest. What God meant when he spoke through Caiaphas was, I will allow my son to be killed so that he can be your high priest. And that's what we read in Hebrews 2. Jesus died to make atonement for our sins so that he could be your high priest. And a merciful one. Not one like Caiaphas who murders people who disagree with him. Jesus Christ is the opposite of that. He's our high priest who saved us from our enemies. He even saved us from ourselves, or at least from our sin, by placing himself on the altar of sacrifice. Jesus, the one perfect man, had to die because we needed a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And that's the fourth point in our notes. And it also explains why it's better for one man to die than the whole nation. Jesus, the one perfect man, had to die because we needed a perfect sacrifice for our sins. You and I cannot bear that cross alone. Your sin makes any sacrifice you could make unclean. We needed one man to die, and there's only ever been one sinless man that could do it. So Jesus Christ lovingly gave himself as a propitiation, as Hebrew 2 calls it, or an appeasement of God's wrath, or an atonement for sin, as we sang in the hymn. However you want to say it, because God loves you. He decided that it was better for his son to taste death than to let you die the death your sins deserve. But Caiaphas would not accept that. Why? Because Caiaphas wanted to be his own high priest. He wanted to make his own rules. He really liked the idea that he was in charge. And he liked the idea that he could earn his own forgiveness. And there's a very important warning in there for us as well. Do not be like Caiaphas. You cannot be your own high priest. If you are your own high priest, you're doing it wrong. If you're relying on your own made-up solutions and they are contrary to the Word of God, you make yourself your own high priest. And you make yourself an enemy of God. There's a lot of examples of this in our lives. We can probably all agree that poverty is our enemy, right? I think just about all of humanity would agree that poverty is our enemy. And God's people are not designed to live in poverty. That's not God's desire. And yet, what do we often hear? Well, you know, if a single woman gets pregnant, then both her and her baby will be stuck in poverty. Therefore, it's better that one person should die than that two should live in poverty. Brothers and sisters, abortion isn't the only place, though, where people make themselves their own high priests. Anytime we let our fear of earthly enemies push us away from living faithfully by God's word, then we have become our own high priests. Do we ever withhold tithe because we fear we won't have enough to pay our bills? Do we trust God's blueprint for marriage? Husbands, do we trust that if we love our wives as Christ loved the church, giving ourselves up for them, do we trust that that will work? Or do we assume that somehow when we die to ourselves, we will have a terrible life or something? Are we content to let Jesus die for our wives but not live for them ourselves? Or wives, speaking to you, are you willing to submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ? Or is that too terrifying a notion to entertain? And there's many other things where we substitute our own solutions for what God lays out for us in Scripture, making ourselves our own high priests. We need to repent of that stuff. We need to repent and do it God's way. We need to stop being our own high priests and instead bow before our true high priest and then accept the forgiveness that he freely gives us, which is actually what we're going to do right now. When we come to this rail, brothers and sisters, we receive the true body and the true blood of our sacrificed and resurrected high priest. And with that comes forgiveness of all of your sins, all of the times you've been your own high priest. You can leave them right at the rail. So as you come to this rail, don't be like Caiaphas. But instead, stop relying on your works and your status. Stop trying to make yourself high priest of your life, and instead acknowledge the sacrifice that our high priest Jesus made for you. Jesus Christ agreed with Caiaphas that it was better for Jesus to die. And he made that agreement so that today, this morning, you could come to this rail and get rid of your sin and stop living a life separated from God. Jesus died for you and I so that we could accept him and no longer be his enemies, but instead be united with him and with each other. Just like Caiaphas prophesied, that Jesus would gather into one all the children of God. And you know what? We get to see that at the communion rail too. The children of God, who are his children by faith, united by and in the body of our real high priest, Jesus Christ. So to any of you who feel like you might still be enemies of God, hear this. Hear this call. Repent and stop trusting in your deeds, and instead turn to our true high priest. The one man who could die for you and did. And then know without a doubt that you are saved. And for all of us who have been saved by the blood of our high priest Jesus, enjoy and be strengthened as we taste and see and experience the children of God being gathered into one through the forgiveness of sins. For us, it truly is better that one man has died for us. Amen.